Let me jump into 2 Timothy for today, though. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. We're continuing our journey of walking through Timothy together. This would be our fourth week if we were counting, and probably I'm the only one who is, but 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we'll be. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15, and then I'm going to jump ahead to verse number 22 after that, and we'll pull this whole passage together as we're looking at this word that Paul wrote to Timothy that was written to equip him, but of course equips us as a church as well. He says this: keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And then jumping ahead to verse number 22 in chapter 2, it says this: flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. That's through verse 26. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. I do pray as always, Lord, that more than simply words that we would hear, these would be words that will be hidden in our heart. They will equip us. They will strengthen us. They will help us to know how to live for you. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. So I pray for everybody listening at home, everybody in this room, I pray that you would light the path a little farther out in front of us today so we'll know where to walk, we'll know where to go, we'll know what to do, that we could end up at that destination of you being glorified in our lives and our being great in you. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. And would everybody just pray with me at home or in this room right now, if you would just pray, Father, speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. Help me, Lord, to do my best for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I love to hear the sound of your voices. It was a quiet room for 7 months. Come on, come on. You're back in the room. I love hearing your voice. Praise God. Amen. Hey, when my brother Mike cut my brother John's hair when he was about 7 years old and Johnny was about five, and he cut his hair and my mom didn't know it, and my mom was vacuuming the bedroom, and when she raised the bedspread and she found a little pile of blonde hair under the bed, and she started yelling for my brothers to get in there, and you can imagine the haircut that a seven-year-old gave to a five-year-old and how that turned out. And she called him in, and my mom, of course, was ready to look at my brother and ask this question: have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? When I came home from being out riding my bicycle with my friends, and we had decided we wanted to go swimming in a lake, so we had come up with a pocket knife and had cut the legs off of our jeans so that we could swim in short pants when we were out there. And I came home in my new wet shorts, and I walked in. What do you think my mom was ready to ask me? Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? When I was 15 years old and I got my first car, and I didn't even have a driver's license yet, and I was still driving it up and down our long driveway in rural Virginia, and I had taken it out on the road with somebody with me, and I just got the car, and my mom said to me, she was leaving the house and leaving me there alone after I'd only had it a couple of days, and I guess she knew that something might happen because she looked straight at me before she left, and she said, do not drive that car down the road when I am not here. And I said, yes, but the problem was she was very specific. She referenced the road. She referenced the road in what I was told not to do. She didn't say anything about the yard. She didn't say anything about our land or our property. She was very specific. So when she left, I got in my AMC Hornet and I drove around, and I ended up tearing the grass all up in the yard where I got it stuck before she got home. And then I thought maybe I could fool her, and I went and got other grass and tried to put it in the places where I had created the mess that I had made. But of course I got caught. And what do you suppose my mom wants to know? Come on, talk to me, church. You're in the room with me. Have you lost your mind? It's the same expression, not exactly the same, but similar that Paul uses with Timothy. But in Paul's context, rather than referring to a kid, Paul talks about those who have not come to faith yet in Jesus Christ. You see, for Paul, when he writes to Timothy and he refers to the peoples of this world, he says, those who have not come to faith in Jesus Christ yet, he says, those are people who haven't come to their senses yet. They're not in their right mind. All right, so if you believe in Jesus Christ, Paul would say you've already come to your senses. You're already in your right mind. You heard about Jesus and you knew that's the way. I need to follow Jesus Christ. But for those who are apart, Paul would say they've not. But for those of us who are and we have come to our senses, he would then talk then after that about some things in our lives. Once we had come to faith in Christ and everything would change, he would then talk about how we would now see things differently and we would see life differently and what's good for us before now might be bad for us and what was bad for us before now might be good for us and things would be different once we came to faith in Christ because we now had, if you will, had found not just Jesus, but Paul would say you found your mind. You found you, all right, you came to your senses, he would say. And he walks through this along the way. Just as in our physical bodies, there are things that we can put in our physical bodies that are good for us, and there are things that we can put in our physical bodies that are harmful to us. It's the same with our spirit beings, of course. The same in our lives. Anybody like junk food at home or in here? Anybody like to try to get some? Am I the only one? Just me? You only eat vegetables. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Wayne. Wayne is in the back. You can't see him at home. Wayne and I eat junk food. Everybody else in here is disciplined. But we do, we like the chips and salsa or whatever else. But there are things we put in our bodies that don't do us any good and other things that help us in staying healthy. We know that. And Paul writes to Timothy to point out that that's true in our spirit beings as well, in our spirit beings as well. We could kind of think of it like a video game. Like a video game. Perhaps you remember the game Pac-Man. You probably remember Pac-Man. Everybody in the room with me, you remember Pac-Man? You at least heard of it? Man, Pac-Man was the game. Pac-Man was the game. Come on, man, I was a teenager in the 80s. You cannot imagine how many quarters I used playing Pac-Man. Now on my phone, I'll open my phone up and there'll be some game and it says you can buy it for a dollar. And I'm like, I ain't paying a dollar for that. No way. But back then, we used to just pump quarters in the machine, man, playing Space Invaders and Pac-Man. But if you know Pac-Man, he's just that big yellow mouth and he rides around and he eats those power pellets. And he goes after the fruit because the fruit gives you extra points and things like that. But he has to run away from the little ghost, of course, because they'll kill him when they get him. I want you to think about this. Pac-Man's got things that he's going after, and Pac-Man's got things that he's running from. Pac-Man has things that he's pursuing, and Pac-Man has things that he is fleeing from. That's true for the child of God as well. For the child of God, in order to get to where we want to be and where we're going, there are things that we are pursuing and there are things that we then need to flee in our lives. And that's what Paul talks about here. And the consequences of life, of course, are far more serious than needing another quarter for a video game. But he's talking about things that will destroy us versus things that will nourish us and make us strong. Come on, you want to be strong in the Lord. You want to be strong in the Lord. Now you can't go to anybody if you're in the room because you have to social distance. But if you are sitting by someone in your family, you could just reach over and check their muscles really quick or something. Make sure they're with you. Check their muscles. Make sure they're all right. But we're talking about spiritual strength. Spiritual strength. We need to be strong in the Lord. And to do that, there's some things that Paul talks about here. The first thing he mixes them up in the passage. He goes back and forth in the passage, but I'm going to separate them and talk about fleeing and pursuing. First things first to flee. Paul says, Timothy, if you're going to be a man of God, if you're going to go after God, there's some things you're going to have to flee. Now, there's an African proverb that says that the gazelle wakes up every morning and knows that it has to be faster than the lion or else it will become the lion's dinner that day. And the lion wakes up every day and knows it has to be faster than the gazelle or else it won't get dinner. So it really doesn't matter whether you're the gazelle or the lion. When you wake up in the morning, you better be running one way or the other. Well, Paul talks about running and fleeing or running in pursuit in our lives. And in this context, we're talking about running from some things and fleeing, running after some things. And he says, Timothy, there are some things that you're going to need to run from if you want to be a man of God. Where are the men at home or in this room who want to be men of God? Come on, where are you at? Where are the men who want to be men of God? Where are the women who would say, I want to be a woman of God? I want to be a woman of God who goes after God. So it's a word for us. And the text gives us some things that will trip us up along the way and some things that will help us. The first thing Paul says is, he says, you're going to have to flee foolish and stupid arguments. What a thing to start with. He says, you're going to have to flee quarreling. You're going to have to flee foolish and stupid arguments. People will argue over anything. Anything. Come on, right? You know it's true. People will argue over anything. And it happened back in the first century. Paul would deal with it. Somebody was saying, I'm of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Peter. And people to this day, we will still separate ourselves into camps. I like this music best. No, I like this music best. And I think things should be like this. And I think things should be like that. And we will just fight over anything along the way. And I had someone tell me one time, I'm not coming to this church anymore unless you start having communion on the first Sunday of every month. Communion isn't supposed to be on the third Sunday of every month. I'm like, where in the world is that in the Bible? Where would you even get such a thing along the way? People just ready to argue over anything along the way, whatever would come up. And Paul says, you're going to have to flee stuff like that. You're going to have to run from things like that in your life. I had a guy one time wanted to argue with me about what time of day you were supposed to read the Bible. He said, Pastor, the Bible says early in the morning I will rise up and seek thee. And I said, the Bible also said he giveth his beloved sleep. And I said, I can go toe-to-toe for you with the verses. But one way there. Now, I'm an early morning guy. I am. I'm generally in the Word early in the morning because that's my schedule. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if you read the Bible in the morning, on your lunch break, at night. I don't care when you read it. Just read it. Just remember that old song we used to sing at church? Read it. Read it. Remember that song? Oh, well, that was a different song, actually. I mixed that up. But you know what I'm talking about. You got to stay in the Word. Come on now. Come on. Now I know who's carnal. You knew what song I was talking about. But you got to stay in the Word. You got to stay in there. And you're disciplined in your lives. We don't fight over things like time of day and how much of this or that or whatever else along the way. Paul's saying, don't argue over nonsense. Focus on what matters. Run from nonsense. He's saying, stop arguing over foolish and stupid things. Let me put this in here. Don't let the temporary systems of this world, even things that are important, divide you as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is so important. Man, I've pastored for a long time. You can't believe it because I'm so young, but I've pastored for decades now, and I've pastored for a long time, and I've seen it along the way, but I see it especially every 4 years. You bring around election time, and believers will let elections split them down the middle along the way. Come on, we're citizens of heaven. Hello, I need an amen from the room. We're children of God. We're citizens of a greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. What binds us together is always going to be stronger than what would divide us in our lives. That's so important. We seek Him first. Amen? We seek Him first. Come on, Jesus is our Lord. Make sure you're keeping first things first. First things first, praise God. And you know, and remember, man, and this comes up. If you're on social media or in the online community, this comes up there probably more than anywhere. Just because somebody shared something online that you disagree with, it doesn't mean you have to fight with them. You can just keep on scrolling. You can just keep on going and just ignore it and keep on going, and that's that, and pay them no mind and say, I'm not going to get caught up into quarreling over foolish and stupid things, and you're probably never going to persuade anybody of anything online anyway. So in that regard, so we don't want to create divisiveness. And the Bible says here, it doesn't just say walk away, it says flee. Flee. Think about that. You're running from it. But the text goes on. Paul also says this. He says, you're going to have to flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. If you want to be a man of God, if you want to be a woman of God, you flee youthful lust. What is he talking about? Flee sexual immorality is what he's talking about, of course. In all forms, whatever it is, we run from that. Flee the love of money. flee the love of money. He didn't say flee money. He said flee the love of money, the love of money. Because why? The love of money? Come on. A lot of people have been led astray through that. We read in Paul's writings as well in the Word of God. We're not pursuing that in our lives. Flee the lust for power in your life. Here's the thing. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. Then the Bible also teaches us that when temptations come, we're to flee. So when these youthful lusts, if you will, as Paul describes here, would come in our lives, we're given this picture of the devil running in one direction and we're running in the other direction. So you're not just staying away from the devil. If the devil runs that way, guess which way I'm running? I'm running that way. We're staying as far away as we can from what would hinder us from being where we want to be in Christ. If it's not from God, run from it. But we're not just running from stuff. Paul keeps moving, and he also says we're running to stuff. We're pursuing things in our life. To pursue is to go after. It's to chase. It's to seek. We won't grow spiritually by accident. You won't wake up one morning and just realize, wow, I never even read the Bible, and I know all about it. It won't happen. You won't wake up one morning and realize, I never pray, I never read the Bible, I'm never with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I became a spiritual giant, and I don't even know how it happened. It won't happen. We pursue the things that strengthen us and build us up in our lives. We have to go after God. First things first, Paul says, pursue your best. Pursue your best. The KJV would say study. It said study to show yourself approved. Study is work. In the NIV where I read, it said do your best to grow in that word of God and become who God would want you to be. Do your best to present yourself as one approved. Worded differently, but the emphasis is that we're going to make a focused effort. I love that it says your best and yourself. I love that it doesn't give it, because here's the thing. My best is not your best. Your best is not my best. I'm not trying to be like you. I'm trying to be like Jesus. Hello. You're not trying to measure up to another individual. It doesn't say pursue someone's. It says pursue. You were created uniquely by God. You are gifted uniquely by God. The callings on your life, the giftings on your life, they are unique to you. And what he's saying is be the best you that you can be based on who God created you to be. That's who each of us are. Come on. You know what God wants out of me? He wants my best. That's what he wants. Based on where I'm at and who I am, God wants my best. You know what God wants out of you? Your best. Your best. That's what he wants out of you. He doesn't want you to measure up to somebody else. He wants your best, where you are in your walk as you grow. Don't settle for being just a casual, mediocre Christian. Pursue your best. Be diligent. When the Bible says study, it's not talking about remembering facts and figures and things like that. In school, you can learn things to pass a test, and you forget all about those things afterwards. I mean, I remember being in school and memorizing stuff like the periodic table. Trust me, you don't want to be giving me a test on that now, because I won't have a shot in a million. I might get a couple of them right, but I will be lost on that at this point. Fred, you might know some of them, but they won't be any good to me along the way. He's not talking about just memorizing trivia facts so that you can do good if you watch Jeopardy and Bible category comes up or something. He's talking about presenting ourselves before God unashamedly. We grow and we become students, men and women who are living the life and giving God our all, holding nothing back. Now I'm a football fan. And by now, most everybody would know that if you've watched or been with us along the way. And my favorite team is the same favorite team that Jesus has, the Seattle Seahawks. So that's my favorite football team. So come on, Russell Wilson's a man of God. So so I like Seattle Seahawks. you can root for the Washington football team. That's a bad division, so they're still in it. But anyway, coaches, and it's not just in American football. It's in any sport. It can be soccer, baseball, basketball. It don't matter what it is. Coaches will say to their teams before they go out on a field off, and they will tell them, leave it all on the field. Leave it all on the field. What does that mean? It means even if when the game is done, if we lost, but you know you gave it everything you had, fair enough. because you did the best that you could. But don't let the game in and we know we could have done better and we lost. Leave it all on the field. That's the call here in our walk with God. Leave it all on the field. Do your best in your walk with God for who God made you to be, to live for Him. It's not works righteousness. We're who we are in Christ because of what Jesus did. But now that we're living in Him, God wants us to give Him our all and to not hold anything back as we live for Him, praise God. Jesus already won the victory, but He wants us to pursue Him with all of our hearts. Then Paul breaks it down for us. He breaks it down for us in a few things very quickly. He says, pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness. This reminds me of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Pursue what is right. Do the right thing. Do the right thing by God. Do the right thing by man. This past week, my wife and I were in the grocery store together, which is an incredibly rare occurrence because I'm the grocery shopper. But she was there with me, and we went up and we paid for the groceries. And as we're walking out, we're pushing the cart out, and Sarai lives her purse, her handbag, her giant piece of luggage that she carries with her wherever she goes that has all of her stuff in it. She picked it up out of where you would put a kid. You know what I'm talking about, where the kids sit in the shopping cart. She picks it up, and under her bag is a package of butter. Now, we already paid. We're already paid, and we're walking out the store. And I was like, put your bag back over that butter fast. Nobody knows we have it. No, you know I didn't do that. So what do we do? And she was who found it. So I was like, oh, the butter. So, of course, we turn around. So we go back. I go back over to the cashier. I was like, hey, sorry. This was under the bag. You know, I need to pay you for it. She was like, oh, thanks so much for your honesty. And I said this to the cashier. I said, I need to know that when I lay down and put my head on my pillow tonight that I can fall asleep at peace. Come on. I said, that's what I need to know about myself and my life. Pursue. It ain't worth it for a pack of butter. It ain't worth it for anything, whatever it is. Pursue what is pursue righteousness. Pursue what is of God in your life along the way is what he is saying here. And then Paul keeps moving. He says, pursue faith. Faith includes areas of integrity and loyalty and reliability and faithfulness and obedience. Go after faith, he says. Go after faith. Let's be faithful to God and let's be faithful to each other. Run from things that would take you from that. Run from gossip. Run from slander. Run from backbiting. That's not who we are. We're faithful to God. We're faithful to our families and we're faithful to our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That's who we are in Him, praise God. We walk by faith. We trust God in every area of our lives. Pursuing faith will also mean speaking the word of God over your life. Man, that new song that you led us in this morning, Juliana, that song is powerful. I don't even remember the name of it, but I think it's the third song you did today. Just speaking the word of God over your life. Wow, when I'm done today, let's sing that song again. Can we do that? That is just a powerful song of speaking God's word over your life today, man. And we pursue faith and believe things. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. If I'm broke, I don't say I'm broke. I say my God will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. If I'm sick, I don't just say I'm sick. I say my God is a healer of all my diseases. If I'm struggling, I don't just say I'm struggling. I say when I am weak, He is strong. Come on, help me out. If I'm confused, I don't just say I don't know what to do. I say if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. We speak the word of God over our lives in faith. Pursue faith. Paul keeps going. He gives us a couple more. He says pursue love. Love in this context is pretty specifically to seeking the highest good for others is what he's saying. Putting people, other people's interests above your own. That's contrary to human nature. We know that. You know, that's something we have to work at to do it. Human nature is always what's in it for me. What do I get out of it? But love is what's in it for them. How is this going to benefit others? Verse 24 says, it says this. In verse 24 where we read, it says, the Lord's servant must be kind to everyone unless they disagree with you. It didn't say that. We read it together. It didn't say that, actually. I changed that verse. I hope you're awake and you're with me. It actually said this. It said, the Lord's servant must be kind to everyone unless they vote differently than you. It didn't say that. It didn't say that in the Word of God. It didn't say that either. It said, the Lord's servant must be kind to everyone unless they just irritate you and get on your nerves and you don't, no. It just said simply, the Lord's servant must be kind to everyone. That's what it says. The Lord's servant must be kind to everyone. And the goal in it, he says it in there where we read it together, is that through our gentleness, we will lead people to truth. We will lead people to righteousness as well in our lives through that example that we set for them. We pursue love. We love God and we love who God loves. Jesus said all the law and the prophets hang on those truths there. Pursue love. And then just a last thought, and then I'll pull this all together. He says, pursue peace. Pursue peace. Peace is rarely pursued in our day. Come on, you live where I live. Peace is rarely pursued in our day. You think the leaders of our country and even and those who would, no matter in the House, the Senate, the White House, those running for office, you think these are people who are pursuing peace? Everybody's pursuing their own agenda. Everybody's pursuing their own thing and what they want along the way and what they would do. They're not good examples for us in this, but we're not politicians. We're the church. Hello. Come on, somebody say, I'm the church. We're the church. We're the church. And I still vote like I hope you will. I think that that's important along the way that we would do that. We would vote our convictions and all that. That's an important thing. But first and foremost, we're the church. That's who we are. We're from a kingdom that is far greater than this one. The United States is going to come to an end. Hello. We get that, right? The Bible specifically says that. This country will come to, it's hard for us to think of, but sooner or later, maybe when Jesus returns, maybe before something crazy happens on the way, but the country won't last forever. The other empires and kingdoms of this world, you see, they all eventually shift, they come to an end, but the kingdom of God is eternal. We're a part of an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that never comes to an end. And that's what we seek first, is that kingdom and its righteousness. Pursue peace as citizens of the kingdom of God along the way. We may have philosophical differences about how things should be done here on earth, and that's all well and good. But we have to remember first and foremost who our brothers and sisters in Christ are, because our mission is eternal. It is eternal. Let me pull all this together. Juliana and the worship team, you could come and join me at this time, actually, set yourselves up. But don't tune me out yet in the room. I want to wrap this up here. Paul, I want to say, as I start to pull this together, what Paul didn't say. Paul didn't say, Timothy, don't be bad, be good. He didn't say that. He didn't say, Timothy, don't do bad stuff, do good stuff. This is bigger than that. This is deeper. This is bigger than let's all behave ourselves. Paul is talking about, and the Word of God to us is talking about here, having a kingdom mindset. Having a kingdom mindset. An eternal mindset in our lives. Having an eternal perspective on life. There was a time where I drove for Uber for a few months. And one time about 5 o'clock in the morning, I pulled up in front of this apartment complex. And this lady came running out in the dark. And she had clothing all wrapped under one arm. And she had a kid under the other one who was about 4 years old. And I mean, she is booking it. She is running full speed across the lawn to my car. And I'm looking and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And she runs up and she grabs the door open to my car. And then I see this guy coming out the building and here he comes. And he's running full speed and he's running after. And as she throws her stuff and throws the kid in, she jumps in and she yells, go, go. And she jumps in and I floor it. Wow. And I take off and I turn the stop sign. I ran the stop sign at the end of the street. Lord, forgive me. And I turn the stop sign. And the guy is in the street running behind my car chasing me. And we get just about a block or two up. And she says, I lost my phone. I lost my phone. She said, I have to go back. She said, stop. I have to go back. And I pulled over and I was like, what? I said, you want me to call? She's like, no. She said, I have to go back. And I turned around and I looked at her. I looked right at her in the face. And I said, you know, it really seemed like we were escaping. It's like, what do you mean you need to go back? It seemed like we were running away from something. And then, listen, what Paul says here, I'll tell you the end of that story on another week. You have to come back next week. So, Paul's saying, you're going to flee what doesn't get you where you want to be, and you're going to pursue what causes you to become who God wants you to be. Flee what takes you in a direction you're not going. Pursue what gets you to the goal of becoming who Christ died to make you. Hallelujah. I want to pray that over you. I want to pray that over you if you're at home or in this room. If you're in the room, would you stand with me at this time? As we make this a commitment in our lives of God, we're going to go after you. We're going to run from what's not of you, and we're going to run after you in our lives. Before I pray, this song's a moving song. I just want us to sing it again as a declaration of the word of God over our lives, and then I'm going to come back and pray these things over us to close today. Hallelujah. You good there? Amen. Just keep playing that in the background there. We want to pray. Come on, if you're here in this room, if you're at home, if you would say, God, there's some things in my life that I know I need to flee. Maybe there's some stuff that you've gotten too close to. You say, I need to flee that. Or God, or maybe it's both. But God, there's some stuff. Maybe I've not pursued it with the passion that I should have. But God, I'm going to pursue you. I want to be who you want me to be. Come on, just raise a hand to your hands and say, God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. I will flee what is not of you. I will pursue what is yours, O Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, at home and in this room, we're yours. We're your church. Here's our life, Lord God. We want to be mighty men and women of God. We want to be students of God. Hallelujah. We want to serve you with all of our hearts, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us and equip us. I pray that we will pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace and all that is of you this week. We will pursue doing our best for the kingdom. We will flee nonsense. We will flee foolishness. We will flee the lust of youth, Lord God, that would distract us from pursuing you, Lord God, because we want to go after you with all of our hearts. We commit ourselves to seeking you first and your kingdom, Lord God. And we thank you in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen, amen. Hey, if you're watching at home, it was great to have you with us today. Again, you're welcome to join us in the upcoming weeks. But if you're vulnerable or you aren't ready to be back out yet, by all means, continue to watch the live stream. That's great. We're just great and excited to have you with us. And for all of you who are here today with us, God bless you. It was wonderful having you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Live a victorious week in Christ Jesus. God bless you.